You know, some time ago, I think it was probably back in this past January or February, I was watching the Beyond Today programs that we produce, and the series of Beyond Today programs at that time was Seven Prophetic Signs Before Jesus Returns. And while I was watching that, and I think it was Darris McNeely that gave the presentation, he was describing some of the horrible things and trials that mankind is going to have to be going through before the return of Christ. And I was thinking all the way through that, you know, the way to come through that, of course, is to have a very, very strong and dependency on God. That's what is going to be bring us through there. So it really brought to my attention that we need to talk maybe and revisit the subject of faith. The gift of faith is the title of today's sermon. And we need to rely on God. Like I said, we need to revisit that, the program. By the way, the Beyond Today programs are excellent. They are well produced, and if you're not watching and following those, it'd be a good idea to do that. They get right to the heart of a subject right away, and we certainly appreciate that. But just briefly, I would like to go over a few of the prophecies that have yet to come, that are on the way yet before the return of Christ, which was brought out in the program there. Number one, mankind must have the ability to exterminate itself. We know that was accomplished back in 1945 with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan. You know, the bombs that they build are getting bigger and stronger, and the chain reaction of the atomic bombs, it is possible that mankind could be destroyed. And like I said, that was accomplished back in 1945. And here it's 69 years later, and Japan is still on some of the front pages of the newspapers, the ones that are still left, still in the news on TV, where we are hearing about the radioactive water that is coming out of the Fukushima nuclear plant, you know, that was disturbed with the earthquake and the tsunami over there. It is poisoning all the fish in the Pacific Ocean, and they don't know what to do about it. They have no way of going in there and trying to cap that thing or to shut it down. And the poisoning has spread all the way to Alaska and our West Coast right now. Now, fish are still being sold, still being eaten, and most of the media is keeping it quiet. They don't want to disrupt the fishing industry. Of course, humans come second in our health. It's mind over matter. They don't mind and we don't matter, I suppose. But there are things that are happening that right now, you know, that sounds visions of wormwood that poisons the water even. You know, the Pacific Ocean is being poisoned right now. And then number two that was on the list that they had on the program was a Jewish homeland will be established in Israel. And you can make a note of this. That was in Zechariah 14, I think verses 1 through 4. And that was established actually back in 1948. And the full control over there was in 1967 with the Six-Day War, as some of you older people may remember. The prophecies that God has made are coming to pass as we are in our lifetime here. Number three, the battle between the King of the North and the King of the South. These are our powers that will regionally rise, and we find that in the book of Daniel 11. And we find that, you know, these two amazing prophecies about these two leaders, the King of the North and the King of the South, the heads of these regions, they are located north and south of the Holy Land. To understand even more about this, this prophecy, we would have to go and delve into the time of Alexander the Great, who lived near the end of the 4th century B.C. Now, that was 200 years after Daniel, was there. And so this one has not happened yet. The battle between the king of the north and the king of the south still has to come about. This is a prophecy that will happen before the return of Christ. Then the fourth one, there will be a dominating Roman system that will come to power. And you can make a note of this. That is in Daniel chapter 2 and also chapter 7. We can see prophecies about the four great Gentile empires that would arise in the period between the time of Daniel and the coming establishment of the kingdom of God. Daniel 2:44, Daniel himself was living in the first of these great empires. And then in Daniel 7:4, as a Jewish exile in Babylon. And is what this is about. This is about 10 kings that will rule in the north, which is Europe, and the king in the south, which are the Muslim nations. And we can read in history that the Muslims tried to conquer two other times in history here. Once was in the year of 732 when the Muslim Turks, the Ottoman Empire, they tried it, and they were stopped at Vienna. Now, this great 10 nations has not yet really come together yet. These 10 great nations in Europe, they are probably formulating as we are speaking here today. And then number 5 of the prophecies, the United States and Great Britain will fall with the state of Israel. Israel was the new name that God gave Jacob back in Genesis 32. The 12 tribes of Israel were descended from his 12 sons. These tribes formed a united kingdom. And we can read further in that in the book of the United States and in Britain in prophecy, the Commonwealth. We can read more that ties in with that. But as we know, the fall of these nations has not yet happened. You know, we're still holding on. Our money isn't really worth anything. We are living on the promissory notes that we put in our pockets that are called dollars. They have nothing to back them up. We are living on just a thread. And the worst part about it is, too, is that if our economy fails, then all the other economies of the world will fail right along as well, too. And when things like that happen, people get mean and want to fight and steal and take whatever they want to survive themselves. But most people assume the Jewish people are the sole remnants and descendants of the ancient nation of Israel. Well, this assumption is incorrect. The Jewish people are only one of these tribes. And we can see all the prophecies that are happening in the nation of Israel. Seems like they are in the news every day of something going on over there as well, too. Number 6, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the entire world. Now, in Matthew 24:3, Jesus answers the question that was posed to him by his disciples at that time. And as what they were asking was, when will these things be? Because they thought, you know, in their lifetime that the kingdom of God was going to come then. And what will be the sign of your coming, they were asking him, and the end of the age? Well, with the internet and TV satellites, we can say that this prophecy is halfway done. only part of it here is done. There is still parts of the world to cover. I know we hear on the news every day that they're wanting to increase the internet to spread, you know, even deeper into the world, around the world. So we can count this one as being half done. And then in number 7, instant worldwide communications will be possible at the end time of God's final two witnesses. Well, for that to happen, that internet and that satellite TV technology that we have is going to have to increase. Because it says that the whole world will be able to see the two witnesses, be able to hear them preach God's truth, and they will be murdered, and they will lay in the streets there for 3 days, and then God will resurrect them, bring them back to life again. And the whole world will be able to watch this on TV. This will be instant communications. You know, and many are puzzled by Christ's words in Matthew 24:34, when he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not by no means pass away till all these things take place." So the prophecies are coming. They are developing. Will this generation see God's kingdom here on earth? Well, we don't know that. We can't set times. Only God the Father knows the time he's going to send Christ back to this earth. And Christ will be returning with a sword. He will put down all the governments of the world, and then he will usher in the thousand-year period of peace, the millennium. But we can see how 7 prophecies could not come to pass until these recent times. I do feel we are, if we take a look at the signs of the times, I feel that we are in the last days. And knowing that, we know that God's word and his prophecies have never failed or missed down through history. Which brings us to the subject of faith and trust here, which was also brought up in the sermonette. We should have the faith and the trust that the prophecies yet to come will no doubt come to pass at their appointed times. God the Father and Jesus Christ are in charge, and at the appointed times, all of these things will come to pass. And when it comes to the time when Christ will return, only God the Father knows that. And Christ will know that when God the Father turns to him and says, "It's time to return." In our physical lifespan, we must make sure that our faith is securely grounded with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? The reason why is because Satan will try to rob you of that gift of faith and trust that God has instilled in us, has given us. It is a gift. And Satan will try to rob us of the knowledge that God is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. And we can do only what he wants us to do. God the Father is in charge of each and every one of us. And we can depend on God to be in charge of that. We need to have that kind of faith and that kind of trust in God's truth that he is teaching us. If you will, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And let's start in verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned," God divinely warned Noah of these things that were not yet seen. And Noah moved with godly fear. He trusted, he believed, he obeyed God, And with godly fear, he prepared an ark, you know, with no water around and with everybody looking at him and wondering, you know, has this man lost his mind building this big boat out here? Prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. You know, he condemned the world by doing this and became the heir of the righteous, which is according to faith. You know, can you imagine him stepping out on faith that much to take God for his word and to build that ark with everybody standing around all these years it took him to build that and to be wondering, has this man lost his mind? And the world just kept on sinning, kept on doing their kind of life of what they were doing. But Noah had faith and trust in God of these things that God told him about that he hadn't seen yet. Verse 8, another example. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, God sent him out. He just told him, you know, this is what I want you to do. And by faith, the trust that he had in God the Father, he went ahead and did it. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then in verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And is what he was talking about there is something that is yet a prophecy that is yet in the future. He was talking about Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which God will create, which has foundations, the foundations of God's truth and his power, whose builder and maker is God. Now, this is a prophecy that's going to be in the future when God creates the new Jerusalem. We being human all have fears in our hearts and our minds about certain different things. I think, you know, if we weren't human or if we didn't fear, we wouldn't be human. We are pretty fair, frail creatures, and there are some things that we fear. And there's some people that are even more than that. They fear everything, and it becomes a real torment to them when you allow fear to just take over your entire body. It has to be a real torment. There are times when everybody needs to turn to God our Father and say, hey, this is bigger than I can handle. I'm going to turn this completely over to you. I need you to fight my battles for me. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need your healing. I need everything from you, dear God in heaven. That's what God wants us to do. Because as humans, if we fear things, it is only going to hurt us. We long for the protection and security that we wish we had constantly. We never know what's going to happen when somebody walks through the basement door down here. This man that I saw on TV, he went into this dollar store, and I recognized his face, and I was glued to the TV. And as he was looking into the security camera, he told the lady behind the counter, he says, I want your money. And she says, I can't do that. I would get into trouble. And he told her, he says, I will be back with a gun. Well, he left, and as soon as he left, she called 911, and they tracked this guy down. He was the same guy that was in this building right here with us. So we long for the protection and security that can only come from God. And I know God protected us here. God looks out for us and takes care of us. But, you know, Satan has made it his job to keep me and you trying to knock us off of our track of following God with fear. Let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. And it says, "The fear of man brings a snare." Yeah, it does bring a snare. Because when you're depending on yourself, when you have fear in your heart, and not really trusting that God is going to see you through or fight a battle for you, it becomes a snare. Because if you are expressing to God, "Well, you know, I'll take care of this myself," you know, you're not depending on God to fight your battle for you. And it's the same way when we talk about Satan and his demons. These are spirit beings that have more power than we do until we turn over ours to God and have Him to fight our battles for us. But it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe, shall be secure." We want that security. We want that security that only God can give us. He watches over us day and night, and will send His angels to help us out and to encourage us as well, too. We can't let fear overpower and shatter our lives. We have to be overcomers of fear by being obedient to our Heavenly Father as a little child would. You know, when you see a little child holding the hand of their mother or their father crossing the street, they have full confidence that mom or dad will get them to the other side safely. They trust mom and dad with everything. And that childlike belief and trust in our Father is what God wants us to have. And is how we do that is we let the gift of faith work in our life. That trust. That trust that we must have to continue on. Again, with the communications that we have today in the world news, you know, it's instant. We can see things going on, battles and everything else, in real time as we're watching on the news. And even though it's depressing, watching the news is something that we should do. We should do. We should be watching the signs of the times. God wants us to know what is going on. He is showing us. And it puts a prod on us to have more trust and more faith in God. We are to be using that gift of faith that God has given us. And living in this life, it's like living in a swirling vortex. It's turning faster and faster as things are happening. Prophecies are coming. We need to be watching the signs of the times. Need to be watching. And it also builds our faith because we know that God said these things are going to happen. There's no doubt that they will miss. We hear some people saying, "Well, you know, I wish I could go back to the old days." I've said that many times myself. I enjoyed the old days when we would write a letter to someone. We weren't sending a text or an email. We had time to sit down and to write a letter, compose a letter, and mail it. And we had time to think. We had time to do more things of knowing that we were sure of ourselves instead of making instant decisions on the spot. So, you know, a lot of us wish for the slower times. But we know that is never going to happen in our lifetime as it goes on right now. We're living in a swirling vortex that is getting tighter and tighter, and it goes faster and faster and faster. I was with my little granddaughter over at the Opry Mills, and they have this little penny thing. It's a little vortex thing, and you drop a penny in it, and it swirls. It starts off slow at the top, and it swirls round and round and goes faster and faster and faster. And when it hits the bottom, it is really taking off, really spinning. That's the way our life is right now. We are in this vortex of life. Things are happening. We are coming close to the end. And we should be using the faith that God is giving us to learn to have the character of God. And like I said, we're never going to go back to the old time days when things were slower, because things are going faster and faster. Our Heavenly Father has given us His truth and the gift of faith. We need to be using it daily. Let's turn to the book of John. Book of John 17. One of my favorite spots that I have quoted quite often. Let's start in verse 11. And it's Jesus speaking. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one, one in thinking, one in depending on God the Father, one in the knowledge that God is giving us today." Let's drop down to verse 14. "I have given them your word," Jesus said, "and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." You know, when people of the world see us doing odd things like going to church on the Sabbath, on Saturday, they see us keeping God's holy days that happen sometime in the middle of the week, taking off work to do that. We are peculiar. And the world hates us because we are different. If we're not running with the same thoughts of other people, we are different. I can see a difference right in the city of Nashville of different groups of people that are doing different things, and they want the rest of us to believe that they are right. I'm talking about the gay pride thing that they had here a week or two ago, and some of the interviews that they had on there is that, you know, we're just like you. No, you're not just like us. And we are different. But it says that the world hated them, because they were not of the world. "Just as I am not of the world," Jesus said. Verse 15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." We need to be fully dependent on God, have faith on God, have our trust in God, that He will protect us from the evil one and his demons that are constantly trying to trip us up, trying to rob us of our faith. They know that the end times are here. They know the prophecies that are coming. They know what is going to happen. They don't know when, of course. Only God the Father knows at the appointed times for everything. But Jesus was praying here that we are kept from the evil one. Protect us. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." We don't go along with the trends of the world and the way that they live. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth." Verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I set apart myself," Jesus said, "that they also may be set apart by the truth." We can depend on the truth of God. We can grow in our faith daily by depending on the truth of God, knowing that we know that we know, and living our lives accordingly as such. Things we need to be doing. We need to keep in the forefronts of our minds that we are set apart by believing and living our lives by the faith and the truth of God, and that trust that we can depend on God for the blessings that He gives us and for the protection that He gives us. Let's turn to Acts 26, verse 18. A few pages over. Acts 26, verse 18. breaking into the thought here, he was talking about the Gentiles here. And then in verse 18, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From darkness to light. You know, from going along with the sins of the world to the light. God the Father and Jesus Christ are the light, are examples that we should be following. And from the power of Satan to God. Need to be following God the Father and learning to grow into His character and not following the character of Satan, which is what the world is doing. The so-called easy way out. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified, set apart by faith in me. That trust and faith in God. We are set apart. God sends His love and His protection to us. We need to stay in that constant contact, in constant prayer, day and night with God. Talk with Him. Ask Him all the things that we are doing. He wants that kind of a relationship with us daily. And we know how fast the world events are happening right now. And they are showing us that we must be in or near the last days before the return of Christ. We can't let Satan fool us by whispering in our ears. You've heard me say before, Satan is like this big radio transmitter that is powering all over the world. And we don't want Satan whispering in our ears and him saying, take it easy, have fun, get some relaxation, enjoy yourself. You have a lifetime and many more years to go. And then at the end of that is all you have to say is, well, I believe in God. We've heard Mr. Burnish many times say, don't let your oil run out. And he was referring to God's Holy Spirit. We need to stay close to God. We need to be depending on God. We need to keep that Holy Spirit active in our lives. And with that communication that we have with God, we can go directly to God the Father and express ourselves. Ask God for His help and His healing. God's Holy Spirit, His gift of faith, is what we must depend on constantly. We don't want that to leave us. We don't want His Holy Spirit. We pray that His Holy Spirit will never leave us. Can you imagine how fearful that is to not have God living in you or me and guiding us and taking care of us? What a scary thought that is. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we need to be reading and studying and gathering all the information that we can to be in our hearts and our minds. Hearing with our ears is not nearly enough. A person must hear with their heart and mind and be willing to be shown the truth of God. And if we choose, God will make it very clear to us and we will be able to believe. It's God's Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. Hebrews 8:10 says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In Hebrews 8:12, God tells us, He is merciful to the unrighteous. God wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to follow Him. He is merciful to the unrighteous. And their sins and lawless deeds, I will remember no more. God wants each and every one of us to repent of our sins. We are to turn from our sins, our old way of life. Faith is trust and belief. It is completely trusting in God and believing in Him that He is who He is, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, our Protector. But let's not make the mistake of thinking that if we believe in God, that's all there is to it. Many people believe in God, that He exists. Satan and his demons surely believe it and know it. Therefore, many people think that they have faith by just saying, "Oh, I believe." Let not any of us have that mistaken idea in our head. We have to put our faith into action by living our lives by faith, trusting and depending on the Word of God, our Heavenly Father. Satan wants everyone to be thinking on him and not on Satan. And of course, Satan wants everyone to think, well, you know, if you're once saved, you're always saved. And you don't have to do anything after that. Just go ahead and bow down and be saved and dance away and do whatever you want to do. That's what Satan wants everybody to think. God doesn't want us to think that way. We have to have that relationship with Him. We have to stir up that Holy Spirit that He has put into us. When we're baptized, the Holy Spirit is about the size of a mustard seed. And it's up to us to choose for that mustard seed of faith in Holy Spirit to grow inside us. Probably the worst words that any human will ever hear would be for Christ to say, "I never knew you." Again, like what Mr. Vernish always talks about, don't let your oil run out. You need to be cultivating the Holy Spirit that God has instilled in each and every one of us. And we do that by faith, trust, and depending and believing in our Father. Living by faith is the main part of a Christian life, from beginning until end, from the time that you understand and you know that God is God. And we are to use that faith as an instrument by which the gift of salvation is received. Eternal life. Salvation. It's the instrument. Faith is the instrument by which the gift of salvation is received. We're not once saved, always saved. We have to cultivate it. We have to grow into the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, our example. The Apostle Paul said that salvation is through faith. We are to have total trust in our Creator God, have that confidence in Him, not in ourselves or in anyone else. And through faith, as was brought out in the sermonette there, we can have peace of mind. If we have true faith, and through faith, we can have that dependency on God, which gives us that peace of mind. Even with knowing, you know, that the hard times are ahead, we don't have to have that fear that other people have when these hard times hit. We can have faith that God will see us through no matter what. I've often said that probably the safest place, if you are a true Christian and been obeying God and before these hard times hit, probably the safest place to be is in the grave. Satan can't touch you, can't hurt you. And then in a twinkling of an eye, when you're resurrected, you'll be seeing the face of Christ. Hard times are ahead. Don't have to write it down, but 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And then in Ephesians 2:14, it says, "For He Himself," speaking of Christ, "is our peace." He bought us with a price. We belong to Him. And if our lives are hidden in Christ, we don't have to worry. We don't have to have the fear. We have the trust. We have the gift of faith that God has given us. Again, we can't sit still. We can't stand still, and just go through the motions of being a Christian. So, well, you know, I'll read my Bible every now and then. I'll come and I'll listen to the sermons and I'll... I love all the brethren. You know, I love talking with them and love doing this and doing that. And be neglecting this study that we should be doing and getting a closer contact with God. Something that we need to be doing. The gift of faith, we need to put it into action in our lives and get rid of the carnal ways that we have been living. So in closing, our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of faith. And now let's go ahead and use that faith by putting it into action in our lives, because we are to remain faithful for the rest of our days. So let's do that. Let's remain faithful and really use the gift of faith that God has given each and every one of us. So good to see y'all.